Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Brandon.
Couldn't have seen it after kindergarten.
Oh, no, you wouldn't have seen this after kindergarten.
Today, first of all, thank you for joining us. Today we're talking about true crime films.
True stories.
Yeah. Movies crime. Based on true events, but specifically true crime.
Do you get that reference, Ricardo?
What?
True story.
No.
He's going to sing it again. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Sing it one more time.
Write in.
Sing it one more time. Maybe you'll
write it. Write in, everyone. Tell them what it's from.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the real world.
The real world?
Mm-hmm. From the Los Angeles real world.
I never watched the real world.
I watched the real world a lot, but why is that only from
one
of them?
This was like the third one, because it was from the opening, and it was the cowboy guy. And it was one clip in the intro of him going, true story. But it's on like every real world thing. Like when Saturday Night Live does a skit, someone always does it.
Interesting.
Hmm. Anyway, that is a true story.
Did love that show. Did love it.
It was a good show.
Yeah, it's great.
And then they finally figured out, let's just put them in Vegas and put them all in a high-rise hotel so they can get drunk every day and have sex with one another.
I feel like now they don't, they just, look, I don't want to get into it. Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Back to true crime. today we're talking about, again, true crime. And then Jenny and I recently saw the movie, what?
True story.
True story. We saw the movie True Story with James Franco and Jonah Hill, directed by Rupert Gold. So we'll do a little review in the beginning of this, and then we'll go into the list. Jenny, you and I both saw it.
So I kind of had heard the story, you know, the synopsis.
Yeah.
So I knew what it was going into it, but I didn't know all the deets. And it was a really interesting story.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, it is basically the relationship between a journalist, Michael Finkel, and Christian Longo, an FBI Most Wanted list murderer who lived outside the U.S. Under Finkel's name for years. And they finally caught him, and he was using this reporter, his name, and when they caught him. So I don't want to give too much away.
Finkel found out that he was using his name by a different reporter, and he went to go, like, he decided he's going to go talk to him. So it's the story about him going to the prison to go talk to Christian Longo while he's awaiting trial.
Yeah. And it is it piques his interest, and he goes to see to Longo and to see why, and he's curious about why he used his name, and it's a very interesting movie about truth you tell and how you shade the truth, basically.
Yeah. Cuz they're both in psychopaths.
Yeah, and they're both kind of, that's both their journeys at the time. I think that's why they were so they connected, because they were both dealing with shades of truth, right? It stars James Franco as Christian Longo and Jonah Hill as the reporter Michael Finkel. And I had heard most of this when it came out. I think I saw like a magazine report on it. You hadn't heard the details on this, right, Jenny? About the true crime event,
right?
I learned more watching the movie, of course, but I thought the movie was okay, but it could have been better.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was really interesting, and I actually really liked most of the scenes that weren't with James Franco.
Yeah, yeah. Everything, I'm gonna be honest. Everything, I'll tell you, Jonah Hill is really interesting to look at. There's a lot of still scenes, very, very quiet still, slow scenes, and he's captivating to look at. He really does bring something dramatic to the table, and I enjoy watching him acting. I've liked him and everything dramatic he's done, but I'm kind of, I feel bad saying this, I'm kind of tired of James Franco a little bit. Like, he's really good at playing one character, which is like the dumb character, but I have a hard time, not that he can't play very smart, but because he's a smart dude in real life, but I have a hard time buying into the fact that he's his character, who's like really smart and conniving.
Yeah, they could have chosen someone better for this, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just off the top of my head, I can name like a couple of, Ben Foster, right away. Like, I would love to have seen this, him in this part. But I think that was what made me give it a lower rating. And of course, we always do our ratings based on the Letterboxd rating, half to 5 stars. And I think I landed at 2.5.
I did 3.5.
3.5. You were more generous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, again, the also, story and the direction was it was really well directed. It was intense.
It was really pretty. Yeah. It was beautiful. The Felicity Jones plays Jonah Hill's wife or girlfriend. I don't know. His
fiance. Yeah.
And she's really great in it, too. She has a really good scene where she just kind of, I guess I don't want to give it away, but she's in the scene with James Franco, but she kind of takes over the scene, and that's why the scene's so great.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, why is she in this movie? Like, it's a small part for her. And then eventually you see more of her, and I was actually like, really good, yeah. And there's a great supporting cast. Ethan Suplee plays another reporter, and he's really great. Gretchen Mol is in it. There's a lot of really good character actors in this movie that were really great. But again, like, it was all James Franco for me. Like, if James Franco had been replaced, I think I would have given it a way higher rating because it was good. It was captivating.
Yeah,
it was entertaining.
It was
thrilling. Yeah, it was unbelievable for me.
I feel like he does so many movies.
Yeah,
but he has the movie star thing. Like, he's a movie star. He feels like a movie star. He's always kind of James Franco.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's never not a little bit James Franco.
Yeah.
He's never not a lot James Franco. Yeah. So it's hard if he's really nuanced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like I don't know how he plays against type. I can't even imagine that.
No, it's true. It's true.
I hate to say this, but I feel like he's like becoming like Al Pacino, where he's just playing Al Pacino, you know? Like, he's like what we think of it, of him, you know what I mean?
Sure. He's always kind of an idiot.
No, and not even that. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I really like the Pineapple Express, James Franco. Do you mean?
I loved him in The Interview.
The Interview,
he was amazing in The Interview.
Again, he's playing not the smartest dude.
Yeah, just playing
in the
an
world.
Idiot.
Yeah. But when he's playing these more complex characters, I have a hard time just like buying into them. But I don't know. There's some James Franco stuff that I watched that I really liked, but
what's a straight up dramatic role that I really enjoy of his?
I'd really like when he was James Dean in the TNT movie. I bought it. I actually liked it.
Well, I know, because he looks like James Dean, and he, like, is the James Dean.
Yeah, and it was pre, like, him being the star he is. So,
sure.
Like,
so
I bought into
more
it.
More like James
Dean. Yeah, I bought into it, but...
But what's another... Like, 127 hours, I guess.
That was good.
Yeah, he was really good in that.
But that was all, I feel like, it was all directing, you know? Like,
well... Yeah, I mean, it is to an extent, but it's also him the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder...
He has to carry everything.
I know, and it worked for me. It did work for me.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But I wonder if it takes the right kind of director to kind of coax the right thing out of him. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Who directed this?
Rupert Gold.
Rupert Gold?
Yeah.
What has he done before?
I think he's... let me see. Rupert Gold. He's done, like, more indie stuff. He's only done 3 things, actually. The Hollow Crown is a TV show... And only TV, like 2 TV things, kind of in like his first big thing.
Is he British?
He looks British. Doesn't say on here, but
racist.
Yeah. Oh no, born London, England.
There you
go. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. Danny Boyle's British, and he got a great performance out of him. So I don't know.
Right, that wasn't the link to being British that I was making.
I don't know where we're going with that.
I was just wondering if he had done TV stuff in Britain.
Yeah. But yeah, so again, I gave it a 2.5 stars. Jenny, 3.5. I'd say for me, I'd say wait for it to be in like on HBO. Like, this is, I would not run out to see this in theaters.
Oh, what studio is it? It could be on Showtime.
Could be, yeah.
And then no one's going to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I think the Fox Independent. What's it called? The other indie label.
Oh,
it was at the Fox lot, the screening. So it was a sub company of Fox. But anyway, I would definitely wait for like home video or on demand. Again, the Jonah Hill stuff. Sorry, was very enjoyable, and I thought he's great. I actually can't wait for him to do more like dramatic stuff. So. All right, so should we get into the list?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Who's going to go first? I went last week.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Nah, it's not the list. We should just go into the list. But I've been biting my tongue because we haven't been able to talk about Furious 7.
Yeah, and now well, Jenny hasn't seen it.
Yeah, Jenny hasn't seen
it. Okay. There's not much you can give away from
that is true.
From a movie like that.
The only thing we could give away is how they handle the Paul Walker thing. And the only thing I'll say is that I thought they did it beyond well. Like, better than I ever could have expected them to. It's heartwarming. It works on a meta and contextual level in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's extraordinary how they pulled it off.
Yeah.
And it's truly heartwarming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoy all the movies. It's just like, it's, you know what you're getting into. It's kind of like the old James Bond films where you're like, I know what I'm going to expect. There's going to be girls in bikinis, fast cars, and crazy, crazy stunts. Like, that's all you could expect. You're not going in looking for this great storyline. Do you know what I mean? Right? But this one was handled right. I wish we could see or I could read the script that they had for the original ending, because I'm curious.
Sure, like how it was originally going to end.
Yeah, yeah. Because And I'll say that Kurt Russell steals every scene.
Oh, Kurt Russell's amazing.
And I want him again for the sequels.
The only thing, without giving anything away, the thing I'll say about Kurt Russell's character is there's always a character in a movie that comes in to, like, give the heroes something.
Yeah.
And they always turn out, like, there's always, like, a hidden agenda, you know what I mean? But Kurt Russell, when he enters, that's who he is the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
He doesn't suddenly change, like, his character suddenly.
Yeah.
It's like, he's just badass and like.
Yeah, there's no plot twist.
Yeah, yeah. It's just him all the way. And I love that. I love that. Also, I like that Kurt Russell always knows what movie he's in. Do you mean?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
He adjusts his acting to whatever he's in.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I like about him. But yeah, he came in and kicked ass. He was great.
Statham is amazing.
Yeah.
He's actually like a threat. Like, he feels dangerous in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, he starts off, the opening is all him, and it is extraordinary.
I like him as a villain.
Yeah, he's great as a villain.
He's good as a villain.
Except that, like, he was good in this just because every time they've faced someone, they're always kind of half-assed a villain, you know? Like, you're like, oh, well, they could easily get around this guy somehow.
Yeah,
but Statham feels real dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And The Rock always has some of the greatest. He's a new Arnold because he has the best cheesy lines.
Well, he's super charismatic.
Yeah.
He is sincere.
Yeah.
In this movie, he's there just to be The Rock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All he has is one-liners.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a trailer from the line, a line from the trailer that I love, and it's in the movie, when he says, "Daddy's got to go to work." That's my favorite line.
Which we can say because it's right after, which is also in the trailer, when he gets out of the hospital bed and breaks his own cast by flexing his arm.
Yeah, I love that.
But yeah, and there's some truly next level, like that mountain chase. Yeah. That mountain chase is an all-timer.
Yeah.
Like, that thing is brilliant.
Yeah,
there's crazier shit with the buildings and stuff like that, but it's still fun. Damn, it's so good.
And this is a new director in the series, James Wan. Yeah, and loved it. So go check it out. 4 stars for me.
Yeah, I'd say 5 stars.
Okay. See, I like to have somewhere to go to.
And it's awesome because the opening weekend, half the audience was female, and 75% was non-white.
Yeah, nice.
I love that.
Cool. So check that out. All right, to the list. Give us your number 5.
Number 5 is 2000. I'm actually looking at the date this time. 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Spielberg's Catch Me If You Can.
Nice.
Story of Frank Abagnale Jr.
Yeah.
Teen con artist.
Yeah.
Spends, like, God, what is he like? He's supposed to be like 16, maybe, when he starts, or younger, like 15, maybe.
In the book, in real life, and in the book, he's like 14, 15.
Yeah, like the whole movie, he never hits 20, you know?
No, yeah. Not at all, yeah.
But it's crazy.
Yeah. Even, I mean, crap, I don't remember the ending of the book, but, I mean, all the big stuff he does, he does when he's really, really young.
But he cons his way into being a doctor, an airline pilot. Anyway, it's a story of him, he basically runs away from home and cons his way into money, jobs,
women,
and Tom Hanks playing Carl Hanratty, the FBI agent who's following him. And it's basically just a chase movie between the two of them. But it's fun. It's super fun, propulsive.
Yeah.
Like, the energy is straight from the beginning, like, straight from the opening, that awesome animated opening.
With the score by John Williams?
Yeah, super
That's
jazzy.
That's very different jazz.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's propulsive, and it's just fun the whole way through.
Yeah.
With Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks playing off one another.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's just great. It's really fun.
It's,
I can't think of Spielberg having that much fun in anything, where it works.
Yeah, yeah. This is truly, like, I remember seeing this a couple times in theaters. Yeah. It came out, it was a Christmas movie, and it was just really, really fun.
It's so easy to watch. Like, if it's on television, you can just have it on.
Yeah, yeah. And I know one scene they were going to cut out. They weren't even going to film it, but DiCaprio insisted on it, was the scene. And it's a big scene in the book, which is a scene where he cons the
woman?
The hooker or prostitute?
Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner, yeah. Like, he cons her, and, like, she ends up paying him money.
Right,
and
because he wants to cash the check, but they're not open.
Yeah,
so I'm going to just write it for $500.
And then I'll give you cash.
Yeah,
so she ended up paying him to sleep with her. But yeah, it's such a great movie. And has Spielberg done another movie with DiCaprio? This is his only movie, right?
Yeah.
I like them. I like this team up.
Yeah,
it's really fun, and I like Tom Hanks teamed up with Spielberg as well.
Well, yeah, that's always good.
And I think they have a new
movie
coming out
this year. Even though everyone hates The Terminal.
I know why people hate it, but it's a fun movie. You just expect more from Spielberg, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it's just super, like, if I watch it, it's super saccharine. Like,
if anybody else had done it, I think it would have been okay.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was Spielberg, people were like, oh, come on, dude.
Yeah, you can do better.
Yeah.
And he can.
He can, yeah. Yeah.
I saw the musical.
Oh, really? I haven't seen the musical.
How
it's
is
okay.
it?
Yeah?
Yeah, I like the movie way better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is there anybody famous that played the lead?
I can't even remember. I saw it at the Pantages, so
okay.
No. But Broadway, maybe. I can't remember.
It was nominated for a lot of Tonys. I forgot that it was a musical.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Is it?
That's pretty cool that they made a musical out of it. I like the music in the movie, so
yeah.
If they used any of that.
Yeah. I'll have to listen to it.
Yeah.
I did, but
all right.
Yeah. I need to watch the movie again. It's been a really long time since I've seen it.
Yeah.
Like, since it came out, probably.
For a while, it was a pretty big staple on TBS, I think.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. So, my number five is from 2003, sorry. And it is the movie. It's not directly based on those events, but once you see the movie, you understand. It's the movie called Elephant. It's written and directed by Gus Van Sant, and it is about. It's loosely based on the events from
Columbine.
Columbine, yeah.
It's as much Columbine as it is as the master is L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is quite a bit.
Yeah, which is basically everything has changed. The names, I think, even the location, maybe, but the events are very, very similar. And I think most of this movie done on Steadicam. It's really, really, really beautifully shot, but it's really tragic. And it is a beautiful movie. It's one of those where I can't really watch it very often. But sometimes you see it on TV and you're like, man, this shot is so beautiful. And the acting, like, by the kids, by all the kids, is great. And sometimes I'll catch a little bit of it, but I'm like, I can't, you know, like, you got to move on.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Channel.
I never saw it because it felt too weird.
Yeah.
Because if that's pretty, well, 2003, it's not, so when was Columbine, 98?
I don't remember.
Was Columbine close to where you grew up?
Yes. Columbine was very close to my high school. When Columbine was happening live, I remember sitting in chemistry.
You were in high school?
And they had it on television, yeah. It was my sophomore year. That's why I say 98, I think.
Were you guys locked down or anything?
No.
Wasn't that close?
No, it wasn't that close to
being
locked down.
I think that was the first thing one of the
people
first,
didn't know to yeah, lock down like, yet.
It yeah. wasn't a protocol to
That's
do that.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember we had it on the television. I remember my mom was furious about that. She was like, why would they just have you watching it?
Yeah, yeah. That's weird.
Because like a lot of kids from our school knew kids from Columbine. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so it was, I mean, it was just insane. Like, I don't even think at the time I could really fully comprehend what was going on as far as like, what was, because, you know, you're watching it from outside the school.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're only hearing, you know, broken reports of what's actually going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, yeah, so afterwards it was just, I don't know, just felt weird.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. I think there was a time I didn't really enjoy Gus Van Sant, so I was like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I think I saw that, what was that one movie with the Casey Affleck in the desert?
Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry.
Yeah, yeah. But some of these movies that are like based on like really horrific true events, like they're kind of hard to watch. Like United 93 is an amazing movie by Paul Greengrass, but I don't ever feel the need to watch it again. Like that first time, like I remember thinking as I was watching it, like I have to take everything in. I have to take in like the fact that it's amazing filmmaking, like that it's amazing writing, that it's well paced, that it's really well acted. Because I'm not going to watch this again.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, and he's concerned with making it hyper real.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Gus Van Sant is more about the metaphor, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Even
yeah.
though I'm pretty sure it's pretty spot on as far as Dylan and Eric.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, what, like, does it, nah, I don't, we don't have to get into that.
Yeah.
I was going to ask more about the movie. But yeah. Because I haven't seen it. But
you should definitely see it now. You know, like, it is, and I like Gus Van Sant because he always plays with aspect ratios. He always filmed his movies differently, you know, Last Song, maybe it's called, the one he did with Michael Pitt. That's basically Nirvana. It's Kurt Cobain.
Okay.
it's shot, not widescreen. It's shot full screen.
Like Academy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I like him playing with that ratio. So,
yeah, I guess it's an interesting because we're talking about true crime, true story stuff. But I'm always of two minds about something that's based on real events mm-hmm. in that I don't see the point always in doing it.
Yeah.
Unless you're exploring a certain part of it.
Yeah.
Like something that's just a straight like story. Like Catch Me If You Can is, there's a lot of fun movie stuff in it. You know, all the conning and...
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, with the women and the time period, especially.
He's doing horrible things. You know?
Right, right. And it's visually it's interesting because the time period it happens in, and it's bright and fun, but like something that's just like so dark. I mean, I guess it's interesting on a visceral level because people just find dark shit interesting.
Yeah.
But I guess I should see Elephants. I guess I don't know what the point of it is.
Check it out.
When you don't have that much information sometimes.
Yeah. I think you check it out and see what you get out of that.
Okay.
Know? It's definitely, there's something there that definitely right. like, there's something he's trying to say, but I don't want to spoil it for you. But, it's again, like beautifully shot and the kids are amazing in it. So, check it out. I think most of it is like, I think.
Does it feel
really long?
Real?
Really long. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's not Paul Greengrass style because Paul Greengrass brings like another sort of element that.
Well, he brings the feeling. Like,
yeah,
he puts you there.
And here it's more. It's all of it. All of it is shot with Steadicam, and all of it is really long takes. But it's a different feeling. But it is realistic. It's not. You know. It's really realistic. But. It's more of it. Definitely you feel like, oh, you're in a film. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Like there's movies where you're like, oh, I'm definitely watching a movie. Like you don't get sucked into the fantasy of like, okay, this is a story I'm sucked into.
Right.
But check it out if you get a chance. So that is my number five. Jenny, what do you got?
Okay. So my number five, I don't know if it would be considered, I think personally it's a crime movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely a true story, and it's 2013's Fruitvale Station.
I never saw it.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I saw it on a plane, unfortunately,
mm.
but okay. I did see it, and it. I feel like it would have been better if I saw it on a regular screen, but I mean... enjoyed it is, I guess, the word. Yeah. It's extremely sad.
Yeah.
And hard to get through, but it's really an interesting perspective, I guess.
And it's also an interesting way to learn more about things that you necessarily didn't like. Like, I mean, we all saw this stuff in the news, but I never went, oh, let me go look in depth and look at, you know, what really happened, you know? And I feel like that's a great thing about these movies, is it definitely goes, oh, shit, I should look into that. What really happened? Like, what is the film and what is the real events? Let me go look at it. And you kind of get into it and you see, like, oh, like, you really kind of... like literally get into the issue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's the answer to my question, which I feel like an idiot for not answering it right away, is it humanizes the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that was a news item or a nonfiction book or, you know, a short documentary that you saw, you mm-hmm. know, now you get a feel for the characters because you're describing them mm-hmm. as people, as rounded stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can really dive into that.
It's not a clip on the news. Right. It's a full 2 hour or whatever, you know?
Yeah. But from what perspective do you do it, that brings all the meaning in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, it's Michael Jordan, right?
Michael B. Jordan.
B. Jordan, mm-hmm.
Well,
he's a creator.
Well, I thought it was Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Actually, sure.
And it's really interesting because with almost every news story, it's you always see the kid as like a gangster who probably deserved it and all this stuff. But it's interesting because you see his entire day from waking up. And so you see everything that he went through and helping his, I can't even remember now if it was a little sister or a little brother. I want to say it was a little sister, but.
I think it was a little girl.
Yeah. And like how like fatherly he was to his little sister and like how he took care of her while his mom was working and did it, like all this stuff. And it's how this shouldn't have happened. And it's just, so it was interesting to see all that side of it too. Cause I, you know, they usually don't show that.
Yeah,
like you were saying, it humanized it for sure.
And this one's based on the events where someone was killed by a police officer at the subway station, right?
Yeah, the
like
BART
in the back, right? Yeah,
the
yeah,
BART
yeah,
station
yeah,
in the BART. Oakland.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And like
it wasn't in the. It was yeah. It was in the state. Well, I guess I'm assuming that the movie was completely true.
Yeah,
but. There was like a brawl on the subway, and so the conductor, they're still called?
Yeah. It is.
Okay. Stopped the train at a station and made them get off the train, and the cops came because it was Oakland, and cops think they always have to be around in Oakland, and they took everyone off the train and like made them all sit down on the floor against the wall, like right there on the, so everyone else is still in the train and can see all these people.
Yeah.
And they're all just standing there in the train where I think that's where his girlfriend was and everything. Yeah. And he's like really upset because he didn't do anything. He just like some other guy was like bothering him.
Yeah.
And so he talked back to him. And yeah, then he like says something to the cops and the cop shoots him and kills him.
And this was how many years was it? It was only like a couple of years, right?
It was
like
2008. Yeah.
2008, the movie, right?
Oh, the movie is... This took place in 2008. The movie's 2013.
Okay, so it wasn't even that. That was
but the movie came out just as the trial was ending.
Yeah. I didn't see it. It's one I have to see. And Michael B. Jordan.
I love him. He's so good in everything.
Yeah. Friday Night Lights. Oh,
yeah.
All right. So that is your number five. Mm-hmm. Brandon, what is your number four?
My number four is 1975's. Am I stealing one from you?
Maybe
Dog Day Afternoon.
No, I knew. Well, it's on the list, but
yeah,
I've changed things around.
I haven't seen it for a while, but it's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah.
Al Pacino plays Sonny, who basically robs a bank to get money for his boyfriend's sex change.
Yeah, and what is it based on?
It's based on a true story.
Yeah, but where it's happened in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gives a synopsis of that's basically it.
So
right?
Yeah, like, he goes. The plan is just basically steal the money real quick. It turns into a hostage situation and becomes, you know, this TV sensation. It becomes, you know, a folk anti-hero.
Yeah.
And yeah,
that's basically it.
Yeah,
it's a classic.
It's really good. He is amazing.
Yeah, he is. And John Cazale is one. This is one of like five films he did, right?
Yeah.
Or six, and then and he got nominated for most of his films he made. This and The Godfather 1 and 2. But yeah, he's amazing in this.
But I feel like this is the most normal person Al Pacino has ever played.
Yeah, yeah. Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most down to earth guy, you know.
Yeah.
Gay man, like in the mid-70s. Like it feels crazy progressive, even though it's not. Like that was just such a weird time for movies and what stories people were telling. But
Cruising?
Yeah, cruising. But yeah, it's just so good. And I haven't seen have you seen The Dog? The documentary about the guy that Al Pacino plays.
The real guy. No, yeah. No.
Damn it, I haven't seen it either. I was hoping someone has.
No, no.
Should've watched it before this.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a good movie. It's a really great movie. Yeah. All right. My number four is from 1997, and it is Donnie Brasco. I love this movie.
I've always thought this movie was way overrated.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I like...
It's Johnny Depp's fault for me.
Yeah, I think... but I like Johnny Depp in it. It's the most, like, subdued character he's played. Like, he's not over the top. He's just... It's the most regular character he's played.
Yeah.
He's not... He doesn't have prosthetics.
I wonder if it's because I saw the movie later than a lot of
people. That's probably it. I saw it in theaters.
So I have a good like 5 years of...
Yeah. Of crazy Johnny Depp.
Of hats and makeup
that
Johnny Depp has before seeing this. And it just felt like a culture shock.
Yeah, yeah. And excuse me. So basically it's the true life story of FBI agent Joseph Pistone, who infiltrated the mafia in New York. When he befriended this character, Lefty Ruggiero, who was played by in the movie by Al Pacino. And he basically was an FBI agent who had to literally, like, for years, be undercover and kind of bring down that branch of the mafia, that, like, family. And Michael Madsen's in it. Bruno Kirby is amazing in it. There's so many great character actors that are in this. And it is directed by Mike Newell, who directed a couple of the Harry Potter movies. The Goblet of Fire, I think he directed. And which is weird because you have a British guy directing a very American crime, true crime, American crime story.
Maybe that's my problem with it. It feels like everyone in the movie is playing dress up. Like nothing feels
authentic.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe it's part of the time. Like, I mean, he's a British guy, so I think maybe he's part of like his film technique. Because I think it's not a very cinematic movie.
No,
but it is. It's I think the acting is what works for me. You know, like it was just I love Al Pacino in this. Like he's very like he it just it's kind of like this and Michael Clayton is like where. Were two dudes who were really good and just missed the mark, you know? And they're like a little bit past their prime. And it's like they just missed the train on like being the boss, you know what I mean? Like being the guy, like that made it. And like I said, this and Michael Clayton like are the same kind of characters. One's good and one's bad, but it's just the guy who like put in his time, was there, and he just missed it. And it's kind of like it's a little sad, but it's so good to watch Al Pacino do that. And of course Michael Madsen is awesome in this. And Heche plays Johnny Depp's wife in it. But yeah, it's fun. So check it out. It's a good like again, it's like
to Johnny Depp be real New York.
Yeah. but I think that's what it is. Maybe it is the fact that he came from British, like, it was a British director.
And yeah, maybe.
Didn't have, like, that eye for New York, you know? Like, it's not very cinematic, so. But anyway.
Yeah, but then, if anything, he should, like, know New York from
an outsider's point of view.
New York movies.
Yeah, but I don't know. So, but there is something missing. Like, you're totally right.
Yeah.
And maybe that's it. Yeah, maybe if we got enough American director, it would have been a little better. But that's my number four. Jenny?
All right, so my number four is 2013's Pain and Gain.
You know what?
I forgot about this.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I love this movie.
I love this movie too. Yeah. I don't care what anybody else says.
It's really good. It's a little exaggerated on like the events. Like it embellishes the events.
Yeah. Well, it also celebrates complete fucking assholes.
Yeah. Totally,
like totally. Guys who are not even like you can't totally. Like there's really no way to spin these guys as heroes.
No.
Like even in their own story.
No.
But the movie definitely makes you like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the charisma of The Rock.
Yep.
Yeah. So give us a synopsis of what the movie's about.
All right. Based on the true story of Daniel Lugo, a Miami bodybuilder who wants to live the American dream. He would like to have the money that other people have, so he enlists the help of fellow bodybuilder Adrian Dorble and an ex-convict Christian bodybuilder Paul Doyle. Christian bodybuilder
The
Paul
Rock.
Doyle.
Yeah.
Their kidnapping and extortion scheme goes terribly wrong since they have muscles for brains and they're left to haphazardly try to hold on to the elusive American dream.
Yeah, and it's funny.
Side note. You say haphazardly or half-hazardly?
Oh, I say haphazardly.
You say haphazardly? What
I
do you say
half-hazardly.
Yeah, so do
really?
I.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I've
you're
never
right.
Heard that.
I think you're right.
I think that's how you write it. You write it like that, but I say half-hazardly.
I say half-hazardly, too.
Half-hazardly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's only one... there's PH, but then there's not another
right.
H.
So I should say half-hazardly.
Half-hazardly.
Yeah. And that doesn't make any sense.
No. Yeah. That sounds silly.
Sorry. I noticed you saying that. I was like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I've never heard that way before.
That's interesting. That's how I do it. So we're on the same boat.
Interesting.
And I'm not spoiling anything. I don't even think it's in the movie, but it might.
I don't know how you spoil this movie.
Anyway, I'll spoil it. I don't care. It's a Michael Bay movie.
Fuck yeah.
The way they caught these guys is like the craziest thing ever. The way they caught them is one of the bodies they burned and... Or like they put in a they put one of the bodies in like a drum, like a gasoline drum or whatever, and they dumped it into the ocean, and I think they tried to burn the body as well, but the silicone implants that the woman had didn't burn, and they got the
serial number
off of them, and that's how it trickled down to finding them. It was all because of the breast implants, so. It was really crazy. And some of the stories are really embellished, but some of the stuff that you think, oh, this has got to be embellished, is actually true, part of the true story.
I love, before this movie was even made, everyone was like, oh, yeah, Michael Bay's going to go do a little small thing. Like kind of a Carl Hiaasen kind of true crime like story in Miami in between gigantic Transformers movies. And then he does this, which is like more schizophrenically cut than any of the Transformers or anything else he's done.
But it fits.
Oh, yeah,
and
it works.
This is what I like about Michael Bay. Like, this is a good Michael Bay movie. Like, he needs to stop doing Transformers and just do these. Like,
everyone needs to stop doing Transformers.
Like Bad Boys is badass. You know what I mean? Like he just... come on, man. But this is... I love Mark Wahlberg in this. Anytime he plays dumb, I fucking love him.
Yeah, he's great when he plays dumb.
He just... This,
it works for him.
Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably because he's dumb.
Yeah.
Probably. But
good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony Mackie's great in this. The Rock again.
Oh, that's right.
So Tony charming. Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, yeah. Tony Shalhoub.
Ed Harris as the guy chasing him, the private investigator chasing him.
Yeah. That's a great cast.
Yeah.
But The Rock steals it. Like everything he's
totally.
In, he totally steals it.
Yeah. My favorite part is when he steals the fancy house, Mark Wahlberg. And he's talking to the neighborhood kids. He started like a neighborhood kids like fit program, you know, to get the kids in shape. And he tells all the kids, he's like, all right. He's like, everybody walk home. He's like, except you jog at home. He's like, he points to the chubby kid. but yeah, it's just filled with such like little funny moments. And it's fun movie. So check it out. It was actually streaming on Netflix. I don't think it is anymore, but it might be. Pain and Gain from Michael Bay. Good pick.
I think it's on Amazon Prime still.
Okay.
I think
it might be on Netflix too.
Is it still on Netflix?
I think so, yeah. I see it.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
It didn't do that well in the box office.
But I
really liked it. The majority of people I talk to don't like it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But I just think it's so funny that it's...
Yeah.
It works. I love The Rock, though.
Yeah.
Anything The Rock does is great.
I even watched G.I. Joe 2 because The Rock was in it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It was better than the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Which is
mostly because of The Rock.
It's a low bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, The Rock is the new Arnold. Like, I used to love every 80s Arnold movies. Loved. And he's the new Arnold.
I just want to, I want a sequel to The Rundown so bad.
I want it really bad, too.
Yeah.
The Rundown is probably his best.
Yeah. Why would they not do that?
I don't know. I don't know. All right. So what is your number four?
Three.
Three, sorry.
My number three is 2008's Bronson.
Oh, ooh, that's a good one. On my list.
True that story is... of notorious British criminal, yes. Charles Bronson, escaped from like...
Oh, good. It's my number three, so it works.
Oh, perfect.
Sorry.
Escaped from like a ton of prisons. Stars Tom Hardy in like, I can't even describe how great he is in this.
He was like meant for this role.
Yeah, he just like, I mean, he's good at everything. He's another guy that nails everything. And I think Ricardo's taking a picture of me.
No, the wine.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, just threw me off. suck it in. But it's the way, and it's Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah,
and it's Winding Refn. And it's almost...
Winding?
Winding? I don't know. It's,
no, Winding.
Yeah. He's like Finnish.
It's like what? The
Danish, right?
Windings?
Danish. Yeah, he's
windings?
Danish. Yeah. Doesn't have to be
what
Winding.
Yeah.
Could be Winding.
It could be.
I'm going to go with Winding.
Okay.
I'm going with Winding Refn.
Yeah.
Messed up it's, half-assedly. But...
Is this his first movie, I think?
No.
No?
Not by far.
Oh, I think he had done some movies for like BBC whole, or something.
Well, he did a whole trilogy in Denmark, The Pusher.
Yeah.
Trilogy,
oh, that's right. That's right.
Which I've actually never seen. That are supposed to be really good.
Yeah, yeah.
But Bronson is, I think, the biggest thing he's done.
Well, it's what brought him to the eyes of the like American producers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But it might be, even though it's structured very specifically, it might be his most straightforward movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it cuts between like the story of him.
It's the one that makes the most sense.
Yes, like narratively. Yeah. It cuts between the story of Charles Bronson. Played by Tom Hardy.
Not actual Charles Bronson.
Right.
The British criminal.
Charles Bronson.
Charlie Bronson.
Yeah. It cuts between that and scenes of him on stage telling his story.
Yeah.
And those are my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible. Like, and that's where I fell in love with Tom Hardy. Because, like, there's one scene where he's doing a scene between, like, him and a woman, and half his face is painted. And so he'll just like turn to the audience one way and then turn the other way and do the other part of the conversation. And it is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't, it's just crazy how good he is in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is what kind of, like, when everybody was like, who got cast as Bane? This is the movie they went to go see because it was streaming on Netflix. And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
All right. And it gave it a boost at like.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Him getting cast in Dark Knight Rises gave this movie a boost because it was the right time for it being streaming on Netflix. And everyone went to go see it, to watch it, to stream it, because they're like, who the hell is this Tom Hardy guy? But yeah, he's amazing in this.
Just like the next great actor.
Yeah, yeah. And he is. I heard he's a little difficult to work with, but man, he delivers.
I've never heard that, but he every time.
Yeah.
He's never bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Even if the movie's just okay, he brings it. Like Lawless was good, but it wasn't the best, but he was the best part of it. He always delivers.
Definitely.
Yeah. What else? Yeah. I need to see the Pusher trilogy. I've never seen it.
Yeah, me too. They were on Netflix for a while. I don't know if they're on there anymore.
I think they did like a fourth one, and that was on Netflix. But that wasn't Nicholas Winding Refn. There's a new documentary coming out that Nicholas Winding Refn's wife made while they were shooting.
Thailand one.
Only God Forgives. And it's supposed to be really good. Like, him not figuring... Like watching the trailer for this documentary made sense of why Only God Forgives doesn't make sense. Like you're like, okay, he didn't have an ending. He was going a little nutty. Yeah. All right. My number three is... let me see. Sorry. From... 1987, and it's a classic. It's a movie directed by Brian De Palma, and it is The Untouchables. It is the story of federal agent Elliot Ness and his journey to take down Al Capone, And it's great. It's got, it's amazingly directed. It's, the score is amazing. It's Ennio Morricone. And it has
costumes,
a great
cast. By Giorgio Armani.
Yeah. Great, great ass
cast. Where's a Versace? Shit.
I don't know now. I want to say
I feel like Armani. It's Armani.
Yeah. It stars Kevin Costner, Sean Connery, Robert De Niro, Andy Garcia, Billy Drago as one of the villains. Patrick Clarkson is in it. Yeah. So it is. Have you seen this, Jenny?
No. Mm-mm.
It's a fun movie. It's one of those, like, it's kind of like, for being like an 80s like crime thriller, it's pretty fast paced. I think it's because of the De Palma. It's really well directed. I've always liked De Palma stuff. It, even though sometimes, okay, Snake Eyes is bad. I accept that. But he's always,
the opening is amazing.
Yeah, he's always interesting. He's a very interesting director, and I've always, he's been one of my favorites.
It doesn't feel like most of his movies.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It feels very Hollywood, but subdued.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Because even like the first Mission Impossible feels like a De Palma movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and this
it's like just confusing enough.
Yeah, like. Yeah. But this is great. It's Kevin Costner and Sean Connery. It's cutting it up, chasing DiCaprio, played by Robert De Niro. And yeah, that's all you need to know. Check it out if you haven't seen it. That's it. Jenny, what is your number three?
I'm so sorry.
You're off.
Oh, thing. Oh, my number three was Bronson. That's why.
Oh, okay, I didn't have it up. Okay. So to you.
So number two.
Yeah.
Number two is 2011's Richard Linklater film, Bernie.
Damn it, that's my number one.
Really?
Yeah.
With Jack Black, Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, this
is a great movie.
Yeah, this was one that, you know, everyone talked about being really great. And I think it was it came on Netflix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was like 1:30, like 1:45 in the morning or something. And I just wanted to put something on. I was kind of tired, but then I put it on and I was hooked.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's something about it. The way, so Linklater fictionalizes the story, yeah, which is about this mortician who befriends this older lady and ends up killing her or accused of killing her.
Yeah.
Find her body in, you know, his freezer.
Played by Shirley MacLaine?
Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah.
DA, played awesomely by Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
But he has real people. So Carthage takes place in Carthage, Texas, mm-hmm, and he has real people play themselves in the movie and like, cuts between interview segments with them. And even some of them are in the actual like fictionalized parts of the movie,
yeah, yeah,
with Jack Black and Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah.
And there's something about that like, I don't know. So it feels a little Errol Morrissey at times,
yeah,
like with the people, and it just sucks you in somehow.
Yeah.
Like it's just been so long since I've put something on and just had to finish it because yeah, it's just so entertaining.
And Jack Black is amazing.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah. Well, just every scene with Jack Black or Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
I fucking love. They're just so great.
Shirley MacLaine too, though.
Actually, this is, sorry.
And like the how the story's told and even real life, like he always claimed like he was abused. He was verbally abused all the time, and he just kind of lost it one day, and it was kind of like a crime of passion, you know. And just recently, he got released, the real guy. And the only way they released him was if Richard Linklater took him in. So the real guy is living in Richard Linklater's guest house.
What?
Yeah. It was this weird thing where they're like, we'll only let him out if you
take
him.
That doesn't sound like a part of the legal system.
Yeah,
so
what?
It's so true.
Doesn't look make it up. Any sense.
Like he has to be his legal guardian.
Like yeah, like it, like he's hosting him almost like a halfway house. Like he's sponsoring him kind of. And he
could it
actually,
be anybody? It had to be Linklater.
Well,
Linklater.
I don't
how
know
do
if Linklater.
Last name?
Linklater. I don't know if Linklater like volunteered or if he. But yeah, he's living in Linklater's guest house. But yeah. Shirley MacLaine is amazing as a lady who like is constantly abusing Jack Black, and it's a recombination of like dramatic and like a thriller and like just some funny ass scenes. But Jack
yeah,
Black,
it's actually it's really black comedy. Like it's so
dark,
funny,
dark comedy.
Yeah,
and Jack Black though isn't like being like Jack Black all over the top. like he's not being School of Rock Jack Black.
No,
like
but he uses the tools he has be that like super affable, like full of energy, you know, kind of guy.
Yeah.
Kind of use Carl Salesman type.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, School of Rock and this same director, Linklater. Yeah.
Okay, so the judge removed the prosecutor from the case. I'm trying to find. The former mortician was convicted of murder in 1999 and sentenced to life in prison. After spending 17 years in jail, he was released from prison after a judge agreed to reduce his sentence. Teed was released to the custody of movie director Richard Linklater in Austin in 2014. Davidson agreed Teed was wrongly sentenced to life imprisonment.
There you go.
And Danny Buck Davidson, Matthew McConaughey, was removed from the case.
Danny Buck Davidson. All right. See? I told you guys. All right. So that was who's number two?
Oh, God. That must suck.
Brandon's number three, my number one.
Okay. Okay.
So like a number two.
Yeah. Okay. My number two is a movie.
That was my number two.
Oh, it was your number two.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was my fault.
Number two is it's a TV miniseries.
Whoa.
That's a movie. It's a movie. It got a theatrical release, though. Got a theatrical release.
Where'd it go first?
It came theatrical. It was a two-part movie. They released in two parts. It's on Criterion, which is one of the movies I actually want to buy. It's called Carlos. It is about... I can't pronounce his first name. I think it's pronounced... Elite Ramirez Sanchez. It's this guy, revolutionary from Venezuela, that he was a terrorist, basically. He organized the raid of the OPEC meeting in 1975. And he was responsible for a ton of terrorist attacks. He was part of he was working with Palestinians. And the movie is amazingly well done and acted by Edgar Ramirez. He's a Mexican actor, and he's amazing as Carlos. And the movie is really, really good. It's one of those movies that was actually streaming on Netflix. And
it still is.
It still is. Mm-hmm. I started watching it, and then I couldn't stop watching it. It's just pretty. He's so great. It's really well directed. It's like I said, it's a Criterion. I definitely want to buy it, even though it's streaming. But it's really, really well done. You should check it out if you get a chance. And it's this guy's life and like him getting involved with this terrorist cell and like all the things he did. And they don't really make him out to be like this good guy, but it's interesting how they tell the story. And I really enjoyed it. It's really cinematic as well. So check it out if you get a chance. Carlos. Came out in 2010 and it is streaming on Netflix, so check it out. And it's a two-part, so you could just watch half of it, and you know, if it's not your cup of tea, you're done. Jenny, did we already do your number?
No, we did my number one.
Okay,
so my number two is 2008's The Strangers.
Oh,
it's a true story.
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
Yep, it is. Loosely based. These two, I think I want to say they were Mormon kids. They came upon a house that they were going to go talk. When they went up and the door was open, and they were kind of weirded out. Like, why is this door open? So they kind of looked in and they saw a body, and they went in and I think she was still alive, in real life.
Oh, really?
Seems like that'd be the only way to get the story.
Yeah, I think she was still alive, and that's. That's but true. The movie, why don't you give us a synopsis of the movie?
Okay. Let's see a good one. After returning from a wedding reception, a couple staying in an isolated vacation house receives a knock on the door in the mid-hours of the night. What ensues is a violent invasion by three strangers, their faces hidden behind masks. The couple finds themselves in a violent struggle in which they go beyond what either of them thought capable in order to survive.
And it stars Scott Speedman? And I think Liv Tyler,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And
this was another one of the... I think we talked kind of about the horror movie part last week. I can't remember what movie we were talking about. But this one was another one where I kind of had fallen off the bandwagon for horror movies because they'd all been so crappy. Oh, Devil's Rejects was kind of the same way. This one, when I saw this one, it was another one where it was, I think it was Devil's Rejects that we're talking about. Anyways,
yeah. We're talking about that, and it follows. Yeah.
And this one was another one where it was like, this is actually a really good movie. It's not just like a scary movie. It's actually really good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
To bring Predator back in the mix. Oh, yeah.
Motherfucker.
It's one of those movies where it starts off as one thing, and you're like, oh, man, this is interesting. Because I would have loved to have seen the drama of just them two, like, dealing with, like, their relationship issues.
Yeah.
Like, after that wedding. And it would have been a great drama. It would have been amazing. And then all of a sudden, halfway through the movie, bam, it's a horror movie. And I love it. I love that. Just like Predator. It's great. And one of my favorite lines in the movie, and it's in the trailer, is when she's screaming. She's like, why did you pick us? Why us? Why are you like terrorizing us? And the strangers are like, because you were home. That's it. So random. And so scary.
Yeah.
And, it's one of the movies where I didn't see in theaters. I waited and one of my friends, Steven, who was really into horror, was like, "Did you have to check this out?" And he gave me the DVD, and it was pretty interesting. I loved it. I forgot
Glenn Howerton is in it as their friend. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And this is one of those movies where I was like, oh man, I'm gonna keep an eye on this director. Because it's a same writer director, I think Brian Bertino or Boitano. Sorry, and I thought, man, I'm gonna keep an eye on this guy. Like, I can't wait. And he's only done one more thing that came out like last year, and it went to like straight to video. So, but I'm still waiting for him to make another like horror movie. So, it is really really good. So check it out, The Strangers. Yeah. Brandon, what is your number one?
Same as yours, buddy.
Yeah, I think we all agreed.
David Fincher's Zodiac.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the most intense, and there's really not a lot of things happening. It's not the most gruesome movie. It's not the most. But it definitely, like, it was one of those that kept you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, it's a whodunit.
Yeah, yeah. And amazingly well acted by a great cast. Robert Downey Jr., Jake Gyllenhaal, the Hulk, what's his name?
Mark Ruffalo.
Chloe Sevigny is in this as well. There's a ton of people. Donald Logue. That's the thing about Fincher. Even like...
Anthony Edwards,
yeah, yeah. Even for the small parts, he gets some great actors. Ione Skye is in it, too.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah, it's really, really good. It's about the Zodiac Killer in San Francisco in the 70s, I believe. And it's just a really, really intense movie. And, if you haven't seen it, no spoilers here, go check it out. It's really, really cool.
It's gorgeous.
It's beautifully shot.
Like all Fincher stuff.
But yeah. Yeah. I like that.
It all has that gray silk around it.
Not the first movie he did on digital. Did it? Was it?
I guess could be.
Could be the first
movie. The right time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What is it, 2000?
Yeah, I know it's digital, but I don't know if it's the first movie.
2007?
Yeah. I know he's done nothing but digital lately, but I think this might be the first one. Yeah, loved it. It's amazing. That is it, I think. Jenny, what was your number one again?
Bernie.
That's right, Bernie. There you go. That's our top five for this week. Any honorable mentions? I had one, the movie that I love. It's one of my favorites of all time, and I always mention it. But Badlands, the Terrence Malick movie, is also based on true events.
City of God.
Spree. City of God. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. City of God is amazing. If you haven't seen City of God, see it now.
Yeah.
No. It is really good.
And yeah, beautifully shot.
Is. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
I don't know why Jenny's laughing at my sincerity.
I know.
She's like, you're like, see it now. Stop listening. Turn it on.
Bonnie and Clyde?
Yeah, Bonnie and Clyde. I should have put Bonnie and Clyde. I didn't put Wolf of Wall Street on because I was too modern heavy, but
yeah.
The Assassination of Jesse James by the cover of Robert Ford?
You would.
Yeah, I would.
Monster,
yeah.
Blow.
I don't know if Monster's...
Blow,
yes. Yeah.
That's
another... There's a good Johnny Depp movie.
And that's one that's really well directed and really dynamic to watch because it's... not Jonathan Demme, Ted Demme. Demme. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And it's really beautifully shot too. Paul Rubens and Johnny Depp being just slightly crazy because he got the long hair.
Yeah, but not really. He's not. But he's not trying to be anything other than a guy. Like even in Donnie Brasco, like he's in his mind, I know he's like, well, I'm playing a guy who's playing a guy.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna be Johnny Depp playing a guy, so I'm gonna be New York.
And yeah.
Talk to Lefty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this movie, when at the end when you watch the real guy, you're like, fuck, he looks exactly like the real guy. the Fritz Lang movie M, based on true events as well. Goodfellas. And that's all I got for now. So this was a good topic.
Yeah, I started listening, thinking of movies that were just based on true events, but not crime films.
Yeah, because we already did based on true events.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how Margin Call fits into that.
Oh.
But it's a fictionalized account of a real event.
Yeah.
Barbarians at the Gate. Have you seen Barbarians at the Gate?
I have.
Barbarians at the Gate is one of my favorite movies
that
I feel like no one has seen. It was... You know, an early HBO movie.
Yeah.
So good, though.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Check us out on Twitter, at The Film Podcast. You could find me on Twitter, at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
I'm at Janae, JEHNEIGH.
At BL Bennett.
And I'll recommend two podcasts that are our friends. One is the Popcorn Podcast on Fanboy Nation. We got Chet Osuna. I'm always I'm a guest every so often on that podcast. Isola and Chet Osuna are the main people on that podcast. And then our really good friends started a podcast where they just talk about trailers. It's pretty cool. I just started listening, and it's called The Coming Soon Cast. Check it out on iTunes. They literally just, I don't know if they're doing it weekly or bi-weekly, but they just pick like a couple of trailers that they really, really loved and they talk about them. So check that out. And that's it. Until next time. Hey, have a good week.